It's a little known fact that Castledermot is the centre of the universe. And the cradle of organised society in Castledermot is right here in the grounds of St James's Church of Ireland. It was on this site sometime in the 9th century that Diarmaid, a hermit from the north of the country, established a hermitage on the banks of the River Lur. This is Díosair Diarmaide, the hermitage of Dermot. We begin our tour in the grounds, and coming through the Romanesque archway from the roadway, we take the path to the right and find on our right a hogback stone, the only one in Ireland, and the site of the burial of a Danish chief. The stone, which is in the shape of a Viking longhouse, was uncovered in 1967, and it's carved on one side with lozenge shapes and on the other with a rough Christian cross, which probably was a later addition. The presence of this stone suggests that the Danes, or some of them at least, settled in the area after a period of pillaging and raiding. Now, to the left of this, in the grass, is a quern stone, which dates from somewhere between 2,000 to 4,000 years BC. And it's a sign that the place was inhabited, however sparsely, long before the arrival of Diarmaid. We're now passing, just on our right, the first of two high crosses here in the grounds. And this is a carved cross with several biblical stories, including, as you'll see, that of Noah's Ark. And it was used as a teaching cross at a time when most people were illiterate. If you'd like more information on the high crosses, there's a wonderful exhibition in the community centre here in Castledermot. Turning left, we go across this grassed area and come to the Swearing Stone. This is a tall stone carved with a plain cross with a hole through it. And this was used for swearing oaths and bargains. People would shake hands through the hole, and the swearing, because it had been done on sacred ground, sealed whatever bargain or agreement was being made. If we come back around by the front door, we see on our left a very large, plain, flat stone with a rough cross on it. And this is the burial site of Cormac MacQuillanon. Cormac was educated in the monastery here, went on to become bishop and king of Munster, and he was killed when he and his men were ambushed at Ballochmoon on their way back from Díosair Diarmaide to Cashel. As he had requested, his body is buried in Cashel and his heart is buried here in Castledermot. And if we cross the grass in front of us, we reach the second high cross. And again, it has biblical stories, including the loaves and fish. And above us, just behind us, rises the round tower, which dates from Viking times. Now, as we leave the grounds, we pass again through the Romanesque archway, which is the remains of a church built in Norman times. And immediately to our left, we see the base of a third high cross, but nothing of the rest of the cross remains. And as we step out through the gateway, across the road on the left-hand side, you will see a small building, which was the old two-roomed Church of Ireland school. But we're going to go walk right down through what's known as the Laurels, which is this tree-lined walkway in front of us. And as we step out onto Abbey Street at the other end, you will see in front of you the Catholic parochial house, and to the right of it, what was the Church of Ireland parochial house. But we're going to turn left. As we go down the street, we will notice on our left, first of all, the old vocational school, with its beautiful carving of the vocational trades above the door. And then 50 metres on, we're going to pass the Castle Cinema, which was run for years by one of Castledermot's legendary sons, Peter Murphy, and was the home of 1,000 cowboy adventures. But we're going to cross the street now and enter the doorway of the Franciscan Monastery, which was built around about 1302. It was the Norman Abbey, the home of the Franciscan Order here in the town. This abbey was sacked not once but twice, firstly by Robert Bruce and later by the Cromwellian forces. In the abbey itself, you will notice to our left a small tower, but as we walk further through the ruins and turn to the right, we are into a smaller section known as the Chapel of St. Mary. And on the right-hand side here, you will see a macabre tomb. This is the burial place of Joanna Skelton and James Tallon. There are very graphic carvings of their skeletal figures on the grave, and this dates from sometime in the early 1500s. You'll also see here the old baptismal font, which is in the shadow of the huge east window, reputedly one of the finest stained glass windows in Western Europe in its time. And as late as the 1860s, fragments of the glass from this window were still being found. Now, if you have the energy, we're going to climb over three steps over the back wall here. And you will notice on your right, the ruin of the old parish church, which was a thatched church, burned in 1799. Not as a result of any uprising. It was a local feud between the parish priest and some parishioners. And behind this is the remains of a holy well, which reputedly had a cure for lameness. And as late as the early 1960s, I remember rags being tied to the thorn bush that grew above the well, left by people who had come in search of cures. And the field, interestingly, in which the well is found is known as the Cavalry Field. And this is a name that's believed to stem from the fact that the Cromwellian cavalry camped there, having sacked the abbey. And now we're going to leave the abbey. When we get out through the front gate, we're going to turn left back up Abbey Street. And on our left, we will pass the entrance to the former convent, now the secondary school. And this is on a site where there once stood a Quaker meeting house and a burial ground, but nothing of these remain. And beside this, we pass the Catholic Church. And if we go up about 150 metres, we will come to a pharmacy. And we're going to turn left here onto the school lane, so-called because the former national schools stood at each end of this lane. One is still there. It's the wonderful community centre, and the other has been demolished. So when we get to the top of the school lane, we're going to turn left again and walk about 100 yards down to Carlow Gate. A Carlow Gate is the remains of the town wall, and the gate that it was the gateway that led out onto the old Carlow Road. And traders who came into the town on market day in medieval times would have to pay a tax or a toll as they entered the walled town. Beyond this wall, beyond the pale, lived the people who were known as the Wild Irish. The local people were the O'Byrnes, the O'Dempseys, the O'Tooles. In Norman times, Castledermot, which was then known as Trisseldermot, was a walled French-speaking town on the edge of the pale. And yes, you did hear me correctly. Castledermot in medieval Norman times was French-speaking. We're going to retrace our steps now, and we will come to the town square, and more or less where O'Gorman's butcher shop now stands on the corner of the Athy Road was the site of a Norman castle owned and built by de Riddlesford, one of the local Norman lords. But this is long gone. And also on our left is Gannon's Public House. And this was the site at one point of a travelling parliament and also of the town mint in medieval times. We cross the square with the Mad Hatter restaurant on our left and we walk towards the Fair Green. We'll pass on our right Keenan's Lane, which was home for generations to a pitch and toss school. And just past this, as you'll see on your left, are a couple of clay-walled cottages which are still standing. And these were built in the 18th or 19th centuries. And they were lived in well into the 20th century. And having passed these, we will see on our right the site of the remains of the old loading bay and the weighhouse for the Fair Green. And the Fair Green is now in front of us. It's home now to a wonderful playground, but it was the site of marquees and carnivals through much of the 20th century. It was home to the Cash family, I remember, who camped there for winters in the 50s and 60s. And going back much further, it was the site of an encampment of starving people who flooded into Castledermot during the famine to be fed at the local soup kitchen. And from the green, we're going to take a slip road up past Doyle's Farm, which will be on our left, and then we'll come back out onto the main street. And we turn a sharp right here and walk less than 50 yards, and you will see on your left, in the garden of the late John Clowry's house, a square tower. This area is known as Pigeon Tower Park, or St. John's. But really, the names give very little clue to the history of the tower because it is, in fact, the only remains of a leper hospital here in Castledermot, which was run by the Fratres Cruciferi, or the Crutched Friars, as they were known. And they were called that because on the front of their habits, they had a cross, a large cross, and thus the name, the Crutched or Crouched Friars. They ran a leper hospital here, because leprosy was common in the Middle Ages. And they did their best as well to nurse the sick during the bubonic plague or the Black Death of 1348. It was a plague which killed around about 40 million people in Europe alone. And Trisseldermot wasn't spared because the town was decimated during the Black Death. From here on in, you're either going to need some transport or a really good pair of walking shoes and a couple of hours to spare because the last leg of the tour is going to take us out of the village. We're going to go down the slip road from Behan's garage, and we pass the site of the home of Jack the Basket Man in a field to our left. Jack the Basket Man, or Jack Fitzgerald to give him his real name, was a survivor of the Great War, and he lived in a trench under a roof of corrugated iron. He lived there in the 50s and into the 1960s, and he eked out a living selling paper flowers from door to door. At the end of this slip road, we're going to turn right out onto the Athy Road, and a couple of kilometres out, we're going to pass the Old Yard restaurant on our right. This was once a farmyard, and it was the summer resting place of Harry Tully, who was a well-known knight of the road. And on about 3 miles or 5 kilometres from Castledermot, we pass on our right Mullaghcreelan Wood. At the top of the hill in Mullaghcreelan is a rath, or the site of a rath, which was the home of the O'Toole family and was the birthplace of Lawrence O'Toole. But if we continue down the road towards Athy, at the foot of the hill we go through a crossroads called Sill's Cross. Into our left, set 2 fields back from the road, is a substantial farmhouse, and this is the birthplace of the explorer Ernest Shackleton. A couple of 100 metres along, just before Cliquet Bridge, on our right, we see the Round Bush, which was a meeting place for farm labourers during the farm lockout of the 1930s. And as we cross the bridge over the River Grease, the Humpback Bridge, we can glimpse to our right Cliquet Castle, which was built about 1180 and became home to the Fitzgerald family from 1244 until the early 1960s. And on the site, you can not only see the castle, but also the Mott and Bailey, which preceded it. And on the rear wall of the castle, by the way, above the arch, you can see a shield and a gig, a carving which was put there to ward off evil. But we go on into the village of Cliquet, and there we find on the left-hand side a tiny Church of Ireland, which was built, believe it or not, as a birthday present, a most unusual birthday present, for one of the Fitzgerald daughters by her father. And the village, of course, housed some of the workers from the estate. And we finish our tour across the road from the church at the house which once served as the local national school, has now been replaced by a modern national school. It's now the home of the Doyle family. And for many, many years after its life as a school, it served as the village shop. I hope you've enjoyed our whistle stop tour, and I hope that we can do it all again sometime face to face.